Good morning and welcome to our celebration of joyous service. We're glad you're here, whoever you are and wherever you are along your life's journey, you are welcome here. We invite all worshiping to take a moment and fill out a welcome card, which is you will find in the little pew rack in front of you. Place it in the offering at the time of the offering, and Pastor Carl and I do pray for you following the service by name. And if you have a special prayer request, let us know about that, and we'll be pleased to include you in our prayer ministries this week. Draw your attention to our announcements. There are many printed for you in your program. I won't read them all, but highlight a few of them. Today, after this service, Pastor Carla is leading the adult forum in this challenge to read through the Gospel of Matthew in a devotional way. So come and have your questions answered and ask your questions and be a part of that process. Year-end statements of giving are available on the card table on the patio this morning. Please pick yours up on your way out. On February 9th, we will have one worship service, and that one service will start at 10 o'clock in the morning. So mark that on your calendars, and we will follow that worship service by our annual meeting beginning at 11 o'clock. Our concert series presents a fantastic pianist, Cho Hoon Park, next Sunday at 4 o'clock. Pre-concert, bring your friends and family. We receive your offering. And following that, you're invited to be a part of the North County Immigration Task Force fundraiser. More information is in your program, and I believe we have flyers on that back on the patio or on the entryway as well. Note about the Super Bowl food and supply drive coming up, and note about the Bible study led by Pastors Olson. I received a text this morning from Jan Parthamer letting me know that her uncle Herb entered eternal life last night. And Herb Shilstrom, she is known to Jan as Uncle Herb, but it's Bishop Herbert Shilstrom who is the first presiding bishop, national bishop of our denomination, the ELCA. So remember the Shilstrom family and Jan's family as they mourn his loss, and we're thankful for the gift that Bishop Shilstrom was to the church. He was here actually in retirement and gave a lecture as a part of our lecture series several years ago. Wondrous leader, wondrous scholar, and we will miss him. Let us pray. Lord God, open up our ears to your call. Help us to listen to you. Listen for that voice that is calling us. And help us, once we have heard that voice, to come and see what it's about and to follow Jesus in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our reading is from the Gospel of John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom it is said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, We found the Christ, the Messiah, which is translated the Anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. According to the gospel writer John, the first words out of Jesus' mouth are a question. He asked two of John the Baptist's disciples a very pointed question. It's a question that we should ask ourselves. What are you looking for? You may be looking for a job, or maybe if you have a job, you're looking for some stress relief from that job. Or you may be looking for healing for yourself or for a loved one. Or is it the healing of a relationship that you're looking for? Reconciliation with a child or with a parent or a sibling or spouse? Perhaps you're looking for some relief from grief. And truth be told, who isn't looking these days for some balance in our daily lives? All of us on a regular basis are seeking something. For my birthday last October, somebody sent me a very touching, sentimental card. It was from the creator of Far Side cartoons. And on the front, it had these words, "Superman in his later years." And it shows a chunky, unkempt man with a faded red cape, baggy pants, thick glasses. I don't know what this person was trying to tell me. I think it was my sister. And there was an old dilapidated cap on his head, and he was standing at the edge of this window in the place where he was living. And it was an upper story window in an apartment overlooked the city. And he looked back at gray-haired, Rubenesque Lois Lane, also in thick glasses and wearing a loud flowered dress. And just to the point of leaping out in a single bound, Superman says to Lois, "Darn, now where was I going?" That seems like many of us, huh? We're seeking something, but we're not quite sure what. Where are we going? Maybe we make a trip to the kitchen. Now I know I'm in here for some reason. What is it? Why am I in this room? What are we looking for? Do we desire something for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, nieces and nephews, friends? Our lives are crazy, fast-paced. We're busy people. Last week I saw an interview with a wise woman who said, "Here we are as a society with all this technology, more and more efficient than ever before," and yet she added, "We're also more efficient at having empty, meaningless lives." An indictment maybe we should take seriously. What are we looking for? St. Augustine writes, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." If we sense a vague restlessness, if we have a sense of something is not quite right as it's supposed to be, it may be that our restlessness is on a deeper level. We may need to find or refine, discover our rest, our peace in the love of God, in the arms of Jesus. You and I live in a world hungry for God, people that are lurking and searching, people thirsty for a relationship with a higher power. When John the Baptist sees Jesus walking by, he points to him and says, "Look, don't miss it. There he is, this Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world." Now, John doesn't say sins here. He's not talking about just individual acts of bad things that we do, but he talks about the sin of the world. It's the condition of this world. It's this broken relationship we have with God and with each other and with our environment. And that's what Jesus comes to make right. The Lamb of God changes the very condition of the world itself. And that's the good news shouted by John the Baptist to anyone that will listen. Here you go. Here's the one who will change everything the way the world is. Change your life and the life of this world that God so loves. The image of the Lamb here is interesting because later in the book of Revelation, the Lamb will be referred to as the victorious one. The Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. And the writer of the gospel is making fun at Rome. Because for Rome, the power of Caesar, it wasn't the Lamb that was the Lamb power, but it was the eagle or the lion who represented power, military strength, and might, not a meek Lamb, Lamb power. God's agenda of peace and shalom, it comes through the Lamb. God's dream of shalom comes not by the way of a mighty lion, but by the power of the Lamb. Look at what we're celebrating this weekend, Dr. Martin Luther King weekend. One who practiced nonviolent resistance to evil, telling us and showing us that yes, love is stronger than evil. Don't you see it? The power of love is breaking into our world, and hate and anger and prejudice do not have the last word. Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, there you see that God is making all things new, a new way of ordering the world. Two of the disciples of John, did you notice it was John's disciples, that they were curious about this Jesus, and we're not told that they had a conversion experience. They didn't go up and sign up for rabbi school. They were just curious. They wanted to see and observe and listen to this Jesus. Something had caught their attention. And then as if the action stops, John says, Jesus is walking along and he turns around and he senses and he says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" And the two seekers ask him, "Where are you staying? Where are you hanging out? Where are you abiding?" Another translation of "what are you looking for" is, "Whose ways are you seeking?" A very simple, logical question. It's a good question for us. What are we looking for? What are we seeking? Are you just a little curious? And they ask him, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Well, come and see." And that's in the invitation that Jesus gives us too. Come and see. The disciples ask the question, "Where are you staying? Where do you live? Where do you dwell?" And Jesus just simply goes, "Well, come and see." And so we begin to follow Jesus. Hiro Odona was an Imperial Japanese army officer who remained in the jungle outpost in the Philippines for 29 years after the World War II was over. He refused to believe that World War II was over. He had gone into that jungle under orders of his superiors, told to remain and fight no matter what, and he did, despite the flyers that came down in Japanese and said that the war was over. He thought it was propaganda, fake news. And despite an occasional human being that would come and try to convince him that the war was over, he'd start firing and thinking they were the enemy. Finally, through a series of events in 1974, Hiro finally did return to Japan, and he returned to a hero's welcome, but of course it wasn't an easy adjustment to make living in that time warp for so long. So much had changed, and it's a striking story, and I wonder, was it the isolation changed to make him think that he needed to react in such a way? I imagine so, but also the very nature of war that changes people and made him into a different creature. And something strikes me about this story that ties directly into our gospel today. Hiro did not believe those flyers, even though they were in his language, they were dropped from the air. He didn't believe the folks that came to convince him, because that wasn't the news he was looking for. He didn't believe that Japan could ever lose. In 1974, a student found him in his hiding place. He tried to convince him through written reports, but he wouldn't be moved. Hiro would not. What did it take? Well, it took this. The government of Japan sent a delegation to him, and it included Hiro's brother, and it included a commander in the Japanese army who came to where he was living in that jungle, and officially that commander relieved him of his duty. And his brother said, "The war is over. Come home." See, God sends us Jesus to let us know the war is over, right to where we live. God sends us Jesus, the one who is our sibling, our brother, the one we can trust. This Lord who gives us our marching orders, the one we can follow. God comes to dwell with us in Jesus to let us know the fighting is over. The Lamb has already won. The Lamb who is slain is on the throne. And you and I are invited to start living into the dream of God's dream of shalom and peace. What are you looking for? Look around you today. Look, and what do we see? Look around here, and this week I saw so many kids with bright eyes, smiling faces of kids in our preschool. God's love being shared and lived in the lives of these young people and their families now. And I see teachers on Sunday mornings engaged with our Sunday school children because they believe that God's love is so important to teach our children. And I see adults helping out with our junior high and high school youth as well, because we have this commitment to our young people. And I see our commitment to our community. When we gave, what, around $1,500 of gift cards to La Mirada Academy. And the volunteers and the teachers and the counselors, so grateful for that gift that can help children in our neighborhood. And volunteers that we have that go there to tutor children. I look around and I see people hanging out here for fellowship and Bible study. I watch you as you live out your faith through your vocations, sharing the light of Christ with so many in your daily life. And I watch and I see you as you support one another, as you care for your loved ones who are facing sometimes the end of their days on this earth. Come and see. Jesus invites us. Come to where I'm hanging out. I'm coming to you because I'm dwelling in the world. And that's where God connects with us. In the ups and downs of life, God meets us on the campus or on our jobs or in the rec room of where we live. God meets us in boardrooms and in the back alleys. God meets us where we hang out, where we live, where we abide. Whether that be at home or in the hospital, God is here. In Christ Jesus, God comes to abide with us. Jesus then invites us to follow him. One of my pastor friends who does a great job of writing posted this on Facebook this past week, Pastor Stephanie LePay. And at the top she wrote, "This year I want to be more like Jesus." And what does it mean for her to follow Jesus? This was her list. "This year, I want to be more like Jesus. Hang out with sinners. Upset religious people. Tell stories that make people think. Choose unpopular friends. Be kind, loving, and merciful. And finally, take naps on boats." Come and see, Jesus says. Come, and you will see. That's a promise. Won't you come along and find out for yourself? Won't you come and be a part of this experience to follow the one who is the way and the truth and the life? Come, my friends, and live into this future, this dream of God's shalom that God is inviting us to walk into. Amen.
Confident that God, our light and our salvation, offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Jesus, we keep on finding you. We find you with the sick. We find you with the forgotten, the lonely, the outcast, the suffering, and with us, wherever we may be. Thank you, Lord, that you are as close to us as our breath, and that you are always with us. Lord, in your mercy. And Jesus, because you love us, we come before you now with our needs. These that we pray for now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. And gracious Lord, we pray that you will be with the Chilstrom and part of our family at the death of Bishop Chilstrom. May God surround all with the comfort of his presence and the promise of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we pray that you will be with this world that you came to save. And we pray, Lord, that you will especially be with the areas that are troubled now, that you will be with Libya and Lebanon, with Iran and Iraq, Mexico and Russia. Gracious Lord, we pray for the areas of our own nation that are in times of great tension. We pray for the people of Virginia and our own nation now, Lord, that we will seek your will, that we will build bridges. And on this MLK weekend, Lord, we pray that we will continually have your dream of shalom, your dream of inclusion, your dream of breaking down all the barriers in being your people. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder that this dream of shalom is your dream and that you want it to be our reality here on earth. Lord, in your mercy, we pray your blessing on our bishops, Elizabeth and Andy, and for this congregation, San Marcos Lutheran Church. Lead us, dear Lord, and we shall follow. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you, for Jesus, your Son, he is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and your might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Holy Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be a light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. And Lord, we pray that your agenda, shalom, will be our agenda as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All are welcome. Jesus is our host. We also give thanks and ask for what our children have asked for. We are thankful for our pets and animals, our home, our family, water and food, sunshine, cotton candy, flowers, nature, and campouts. And we ask, Lord, for the gift of an apple. Oh, okay. A gift of the electronics that we need, more cotton candy, and we ask you, Lord, for more trees. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And also with you. Go in peace, be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.